Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. I'm always delighted when I come across a new Gothic tale, but never more so than when it happens to be written by someone unlikely. Say, for example, Captain Frederick Marryat, who was popular in his day with young readers for his tales of sea adventure, such as Midshipman Ready. This one, however, is a savage, bloody, haunting tale of another color, or to be precise, a wolf.
What is it, Herman?
There, Father. Through the trees. The white wolf.
Give me my gun.
No, I have a bead on her already.
Why do you say her?
Because Marcella thinks it's a she-wolf. Now.
No!
Why did you knock my gun in the air?
Because, don't you see? It is not a wolf who comes to us, but a woman. A beautiful woman.
Our mystery drama, The White Wolf, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Norman Rose and Christopher Tabori. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Exlax. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
It is a magic moment. You are at your Buick dealer's, about to drive home in your brand new Buick LeSabre. It's lean and trim, classic lines. It looks quite unlike any full-size Buick you can remember. You get in. A heady new car smell surrounds you. Your LeSabre feels the way it looks, tight. You turn the wheel a little. No wasted motion in this car. Big brushed metallic gauges look back at you. That V6 engine is doing great. You rub your hand on the seat. Six people could be really comfortable in here. You swing into your driveway. Your wife, the kids, the dog, everyone with a parakeet descends in the car and gets in. Off you go to nowhere in particular. Life and your new LeSabre are great. Maybe the dog shouldn't sit on the seats.
The South will rise again, at least in your kitchen. February Woman's Day magazine presents recipes for Southern chicken, like classic fried chicken, crisp and juicy, or chicken with black cherries, fruity, tangy, lip-smacking good. But if eating's beginning to show on you, don't despair. James Beard, the famous chef, is on a diet, too. His personal diet recipes are in the issue, so look for the cover with the big pink rose. The transfer pattern is in Woman's Day.
If you're a skier, here's good news. Right now, Killington Ski Resort in central Vermont has the best skiing of the season. All 50 trails and 11 lifts will be open this weekend, including the 3.5-mile Killington Gondola. When you ski Killington, you ski four mountains, not just one. And contrary to rumor, there are no lift lines at Killington. If you want to spend more time skiing and less time waiting online, ski Killington this weekend in easy-to-reach central Vermont.
The legends of lycanthropy must be as old as man himself. And believe it or not, the werewolf, or wolfman, is still a valid phenomenon today in certain parts of the world. But that is a pathological phenomenon, a psychiatric descent into cannibalism and bestiality, which has little to do with legend. That's what this story is about, the terrible, spine-chilling transformation of man to ravening beast. The legendary spirits that haunt the Harz Mountains of Germany, and the blood-curdling phantom with the snarling mouth and flesh-destroying claws, the lips bared to reveal the great knives of the canine teeth, and the travesty of a smile that means death, the werewolf.
That damned wolf, why doesn't he be quiet?
They are incredible, Wilhelm. Somehow they smell blood.
How? The animal must be a league away. What are you, medical doctor or witch doctor, Franz Baum?
The first, I hope. but I have also lived my life in the shadow of these mountains.
How's the boy?
We can let Herman answer that for himself. You feel better from the bleeding?
I don't know, Herr Doctor. I feel weak as a kitten still.
Of course. But I think the fever has abated. Yes. Yes, give me a fresh, damp cloth, Wilhelm.
Ah, the water is all but gone. I'll have Marcella bring some.
First, let us rid ourselves of this basin of blood. No sight for a young girl.
I'll throw it in the mitten.
No. You dare not do that. That wolf out there, whatever he is, don't do anything to attract him to your house. I will rid you of the blood I have let.
How?
I have some containers. I'll take it back to Coburg with me. I can use it for my experiments. Sleep. Sleep, my boy, and wake refreshed.
I'm afraid. That's just what I'm going to do.
Doctor, is he all right?
Of course. I gave him a draught to help him rest.
I must get my gun.
Time enough. Let me get away. It grows dark.
You are sure Herman will recover?
I have every hope. But really, Wilhelm, I must protest again. This lost woodsman's cottage on the edge of nowhere is not a place to bind your children to.
Franz, let us not argue it again. You know why I hide here like a criminal. Why do I say like a criminal? I am one in the eyes of the law. I thought you said Herman was asleep.
I hope. But you're speaking loud enough for Marcel and your little boy Caesar to hear. Sounds carry in such a small cabin. From outside as well as in, it seems.
Damned wolf.
Papa, come quickly. Caesar's terrified. He's hiding below the bed and won't come out.
No, hush, darling. I'm just going to get my gun.
Better I leave, Wilhelm. Once I am gone, your wolf will not trouble you, I think. I carry away in my bag the scent which tempted him here.
I don't care what tempted him here. I've put a bullet in him.
Oh, Herr Dr. Baum, why do we stay here hidden in the forest?
It is your father's will, dear Marcella.
How is Hermann?
Your brother is resting quietly now. I'll be back to see him as soon as I may. But I think we have drawn away the fever from within him.
How can I help?
Bring him some fresh, cool towels, Marcella. See that he sleeps. Keep him...
Oh, I've got to go to Caesar. He'll be scared. Did you kill that terrible wolf, Papa?
Oh, no, just grazed him. Go tend to Caesar, Marcella.
Yes, Papa.
Where was it?
Damn near inside the house, scrabbling at a back window. An unusual creature. You know, it was pure white, with fur like ermine.
A white wolf?
Yeah, against the snow it moved like a ghost.
But at all events it is gone.
Yes.
Then I will take with me the blood scent that brought it here.
But what about Herman?
I shall return within the month. Unless I can persuade you to abandon the wilderness, come back to the world. I have a deep fear there is some evil threat about you in these haunted mountains.
You mean this white wolf?
I really don't know what I mean, old friend. I am a man of science until I return to these tree-shrouded slopes, and then I become...
Become what?
A primitive, afraid of all I do not know, or am afraid to know, afraid of the dark which I must run to escape. Afraid of myself because I have no resource with all my learning to stifle primeval fear. These darkening woods and tortured hills are somehow unnatural, supernatural.
My name is Herman Warner Krantz, and I was born in the year 1763. I'm now 21 years old, and I live with my father, my sister Marcella, who is almost 20, and my brother, Caesar, who is 11, in a woodsman's cabin deep in the Harz Mountains. The nearest house to us is several leagues, and the nearest town over 25. I recite all these facts to myself, light-headed with this raging fever, and sorrowing that we must all live this isolated life. Why? I do not know. There is something quite terrible in my father's background, of which he will not speak. I wonder how long I've been ill, floating half in this world and half, perhaps in some dread other. Now at least the pounding in my head is gone. The ache is washing away from my bones. And I feel myself coming back.
Come, Herman. That's better. Take some more soup. You need to build back your strength.
Never fear. I'm on the mend.
Thank God for Dr. Baum. Oh, why must we stay buried here?
I don't know, little one. But I think the time has come for us to get back among people again.
You think you could convince Papa?
Well, I can try. Where is Father?
Out hunting, he says. But I think he searches for only one thing.
What?
The white wolf.
The what? That wolf meat isn't good to eat.
He's not hunting it for food. Just to kill it.
But why?
Because the stories, the legends about the spirits here in the mountain.
You mean the werewolves? That is an old wives' tale.
I don't know. Something almost human about its voice. And it doesn't sound like a man, but like a woman.
A woman?
Yes. You know something, Herman? Why I am really most afraid.
Why?
Because I think it is me she really comes for. You hear? As if she were calling me.
Well, that's stopping your white wolf. Father's killed her.
No. He missed her again. He always misses.
My little sister, you give me 3 or 4 days to mend my health with your good soups and your good cooking, and I will shoot your white wolf for you. In the days after my sister had told me of the white wolf, my dreams had been haunted by visions of the animal's shape twisting and coiling into a pillar of steam which gradually congealed in the cold winter air into the body of a woman, with corded arms like the feet of some prehensile bird and huge talons built to rip and tear. Within the week, I felt myself again, so much myself, that one morning when we heard... Well, this time I resolved that I should go along with my father.
Ah, it is bitter cold, and the snow makes heavy going, Herman. Are you sure you are up to this?
I'm fine now, Father. And I want at least one glimpse of this white wolf of yours.
Not mine till I put a bullet through its head.
Father, why must we stay buried in this wilderness? Why don't we forget the wolf and this rough life and go back to Coburg?
It is not the first time you have asked the question.
Nor the last.
Very well. You are old enough to know. Let us get out of the wind and under the protection of the trees. And while we build a fire to warm the soup Marcella sent with us, I will tell you the truth at last. I have tried to bury the secret, but you are of age. You have a right to know. You already remember that this is not our home, that we are from Transylvania.
I remember the long journey here after our mother died.
She did not die, son. She was killed. I killed her.
What?
In those happier days, I was steward to the Margrave. I was my lord's most trusted servant, successful and happy. And in return, he had all my faith and loyalty. Until that terrible night when I returned unexpectedly from a mission he had sent me on to find him with your mother, who was so beautiful and I thought so innocent. My reaction was immediate. Before I knew it, my gun had resounded twice, and both of them were dead. No use to try to tell authorities the provocation. To murder such an eminent man had no justification in their eyes, nor in the laws of that feudal state. I gathered all my money and the 3 of you children and fled to this retreat where we live now. Herman, that is the way of it. Blame me or not as you will. I carry the burden of it on my shoulders, sure that Almighty God will visit me someday with the punishment I have tried so hard to avoid. But what is that?
There. Through the tree. trees just beyond the turn that comes into this clearing.
The white wolf. My gun.
No, no, no. I have a bead on it already. I may have better luck than you, Father.
Shh. Don't move.
Wait. Wait till you see it clear. And make sure.
I have her right in my sight.
Her?
Marcella thinks the wolf is a female. And
no!
Why did you knock the gun in the air?
Herman, don't you see? It is not a wolf who comes to us. It is a woman. And a beautiful one at that.
How fortunate that young Herman did not kill this lovely woman who had materialized as though out of nowhere. Or would it have been, in hindsight, so terrible a thing? Let's wait for the woman to declare herself first before we judge. I shall be back shortly with Act Two.
Radio is a special medium. Like books, radio lets you use your own imagination, lets you see and feel all that is taking place in your own mind. I'm Hyman Brown, producer-director of the Radio Mystery Theater, and we're at the beginning of our fourth year, bringing you exciting suspense drama. Right now, I'd like to tell you of a brand new dramatic series we have for you. Starting Saturday, February 5th, you, your children, and your neighbor's children will all enjoy the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater. There'll be original tales of heroism and daring deeds, adaptations of some of the greatest adventure stories ever written, and your host will be the popular stage and television actor Tom Bosley, introducing you to tales brimming over with action and suspense. Listen for the brand new General Mills Radio Adventure Theater every Saturday and Sunday starting February 5th and 6th over many of these stations.
AMCO is the world's largest transmission specialist, and there are over 40 AMCO centers in this area, one close to you.
For a moment, Herman and his father are transfixed. The older man by the dark beauty of the woman, who, even stumbling and reeling from exhaustion, manages to retain an air of grace. The younger man, appalled that, but for his father's hastily flung arm that allowed the carefully aimed gun to discharge harmlessly in the air, he might have ended her life. Then, suddenly coming out of shock, both men rush to her aid.
Are you all right, Fräulein?
Just tired and frozen. Oh, my father?
Come to the fire and warm yourself. Where is your father?
The horse tumbled, and we were both thrown from it. I landed in the snow. But my father, he must have hit his head on a rock. I couldn't rouse him, and our horse ran away.
You stay with my father, and I'll see to yours. I ran quickly into the forest by the path from which she had appeared. Racing through the twists and turns, I seemed to be in some enchanted palace. The snow-laden trees, frozen by the cold, forming a shimmering, otherworldly ceiling over my head. Before I knew it, I was slithering and slipping into a declivity. Lying at the bottom, facing me, was the figure of a man richly dressed in a velvet tunic overlaid with a magnificent cape trimmed in fur. Sir?
Oh, I think I must have been stunned a moment. Never mind that. My daughter?
I have no fear, sir. She's with my father. Not over 200 yards from here. She found us and sent us to your aid.
Oh, thanks be to God. We were both at the end of our tether. Kranz, did you say your name was?
Jamanher.
Your father could not by any chance be Wilhelm Kranz?
Yes. That's his name.
Must be fate. Help me to my feet, boy, and onto my horse. Then lead me to my daughter and your father.
And that is how we discovered and brought Manfred of Barnsdorf and his daughter Christina into our home and into our lives. From the beginning, our father was enchanted with her silvery voice and her ethereal beauty. And of course, by the common heritage that we shared with Manfred.
It is fortunate we found you hunting.
I was only lured outside in pursuit of a large white wolf which has been haunting our premises of late.
Ah, yes.
Our quarters are small, but you are welcome to shelter here for as long as it takes you to recover. You said you come from Transylvania.
Even so, mein Herr. I was a chamberlain in the service of the House of Verneigen.
Even as I once was to the Margrave of Bitterstein. But why would you leave such a fine position?
You may well ask. My master conceived a desire for my daughter, not as legal wife, but simply to use for his pleasure. And it ended up by my giving him a few inches of my hunting knife.
Then we are brothers in misfortune, my dear sir.
Ah, brother indeed. And you need not renew your grief by telling me your story, which I know only too well. We are comrades in misfortune.
Well, you shall make this your home as long as you desire.
Did you hear, Marcella?
Yes, brother.
It seems our family is to be enlarged.
Oh, I pray not.
Why?
I don't know. I cannot bear to look on that woman. For all her beauty, she frightens me so.
Although I was fascinated with Christina, some deep chord in me echoed Marcella's fear. Yet it seemed unreasonable, for Christina was a lovely woman, her features classically molded. Her mouth was a dark red, startlingly vivid against the pastel of her other color, and somewhat larger when it was open, revealing the most brilliantly white teeth I have ever beheld. I'll never forget the night I heard my father and Manfred talking together almost a month after they had come to live with us.
If it is Christina's will, of course you may have my daughter's hand in marriage. And I shall leave you now that my head has mended and find habitation elsewhere.
Why not remain here, Manfred?
No, I am called elsewhere.
But I...
Let what I say suffice. Ask no more questions. You may have my child.
I thank you for her truly and will duly value her. There is, however, one difficulty.
I can guess what you would say. There is no priest here in this wild country, nor is there law to bind. Still, there must pass between you some ceremony to satisfy a father.
Of course. But what?
Will you consent to marry her after my fashion?
Yes, I will.
Then I shall marry you directly. Christina!
Yes, Father?
I wish you in here directly.
Coming.
I will get my children.
No need. This is amongst us elders.
What is your wish, Father?
Less my wish than yours. You wish to marry Wilhelm?
If it is his wish, it is my dearest one.
Then come. Take hands.
What is that?
Your wedding march. You have her hand?
Yes.
Then swear by all the spirits of the Hartz Mountain.
I swear, but why not by heaven?
Because it is not my humor. If I prefer an oath less binding, will you deny me?
You want me to swear by what I do not believe?
Will you be married, or shall I take my daughter away with me?
What will you have me swear?
Swear by all the spirits of the Hartz Mountains, by all their power for good and evil, that you take Christina to be your lawful wedded wife, that you will protect her, cherish her, and love her, that your hand shall never be raised against her to harm her.
I do solemnly swear.
And swear that if you fail in this vow, may all the vengeance of the spirits fall upon you and your children. May their flesh be torn from their limbs and their bones blanch in the wilderness, and that to this oath you pledge their blood. Swear!
I swear!
Such was the second marriage of my father. From the inner room of the cottage, peering through a crack in the door, we three children watched, I with an arm about Caesar, who was struck dumb, and my sister Marcella, who was trembling from hand to foot with fright and despair.
The next morning, our life with our stepmother began.
Marcella, come here at once.
Yes?
Marcella.
I'm sorry.
Yes? Who?
Yes, mother.
You find it so difficult to say?
Yes. I mean, just strange.
How do you mean, strange?
Just that... that my real mother has been... I mean, we have had no mother for so long that it's hard to say.
You will learn to say it and to treat me as one and to obey me. All of you. And when I call, I want you to come quicker.
Sorry,
who?
I'm sorry, Mother. I was preparing a soup for
who
the
dinner. Who told you to do that?
Why, no one. But I always
cook. From now on, I will be in charge of what we eat. You will cook and clean and wash the dishes and do the household chores. But I decide what we eat and how we eat it.
Yes, Mother.
That's better. Now, you can prepare the vegetables and set the table. I will prepare the meat.
Herman, wake up.
Well, what is it?
Shh, it's her.
Who?
The stepmother. She's gone out.
Gone out?
Yes. Gone out the door and in her night clothes.
Are you sure? In this winter weather, not dressed... with snow on the ground? Good Lord. There's a wolf. She'll be torn to pieces. But apparently, she bore a charmed life. For a few minutes later, we watched her return, still in her nightdress. She went to a pail of water, washed her hands and face carefully, and returned to bed. All this, I may say, I watched as in a dream, for my fever was coming back on me. So much so, I had to take to my bed again. And through the days, was able to watch how cruel and demanding my stepmother was to Marcella and Caesar. And to learn that every night, the moon now being full, she stole outside in her nightdress to Rome.
Herman, wake up. Oh, wake up.
Yes, I'm awake. I'm awake.
Forgive me for bothering you when you were sick. But I'm almost out of my mind.
But what is it, dear sister?
Her again. She's out prowling the night. And it's bitter cold with the snow coming down. It's not human. Listen to that.
I'm almost ready to pray the wolves might get her.
They'll never get her. It isn't wolves. Only one. I looked out of the window. The moon is full and high. It's that special one. The white wolf.
Who fired that shot?
Oh, it must have been Caesar.
What, Caesar?
Yes, he knew you were sick, and he's been bragging to me how he could take your place and guard us all. Oh, that's why I woke you. Somehow he follows her into the night.
Well, at least he seems to have driven off the wolf. Marcella, help me out of bed.
No, you have the fever, and I...
What's that?
Shh, it's her. Her dress all bloody, and she's alone. But where? Oh, dear sweet God. Where is our little brother?
Behind the door, the watching girl suddenly feels the blood drain from her head, and a wave of faintness makes her reach for support. In the room outside, the woman turns, moving silently to her bedroom. Her wide mouth open in a caricature of a smile. There is blood on her gleaming teeth. I shall return shortly with Act 3.
Take a close look at your next auto or appliance repair bill. What you'll probably see is something like this. $12 for parts, $22 for labor. Hi, Pat Summerall with True Value Hardware Store's way to help cut those labor charges down to nothing. They offer a TrueTest 11-piece standard or metric socket set for just $15.50 each. So you can start doing those auto and appliance repairs yourself. The TrueTest standard socket set includes 7 sockets, a spark plug socket, an extension, a reversible ratchet wrench, and a case. The metric set has 9 sockets, a ratchet wrench, and carry case. Counting the price of a TruTest socket set, plus the other parts and tools you need, you can match the mechanic's price for a tune-up. And the next time your car needs a tune-up, all you'll have to buy is the parts. Let True Value Hardware Stores help save you money on home and auto repairs. Get a TruTest 11-piece standard or metric socket set for just $15.50 each at participating True Value Hardware Stores.
Lots of banks are advertising free checking these days, but to take advantage of their free offer, you usually have to keep a minimum balance of up to $500 tied up in your account. At the Emigrant Savings Bank, they'll give you free checking just for opening a savings account with as little as $5. And there are no monthly service or per-check charges, so you can actually save money while you're spending it. And to make spending easier, you can apply for Emigrant's overdraft loan privilege of up to $1,000. After you qualify, you'll have a credit reserve anytime you need it. Why tie up $500 just to write a few checks? Free up your money with Emigrant's free checking account. It's absolutely free. Why isn't every bank like Emigrant? For more information, call 883-6280, area code 212. Only you can make it happen. Emigrant Savings Bank, member FDIC.
The moon is now obscured by dark clouds heavy with snow. Outside the cabin, the snow is pouring down. And what might be a small figure dark against the snow has now become only a minor unevenness in the white carpet. Inside the cottage, Marcella, noticing her brother's weakness, has gone to his aid.
Herman, brother, let me help you lie down.
No. I'm all right. You watch her. What is she doing now?
She's going into their bedroom. Shh. Wait.
Who is it?
Lie still, dearest. It's only me. I have lighted the fire to warm some water. I'm not quite well.
What? I'll get up, Christina.
Shh. No need. It's nothing. I can manage myself.
Tell me, what is she doing now?
Stirring up the fire. And now she is changing her linen and... Her right leg is bleeding. As if...
Wait, wait. Let me see. For myself. As I watched in horror, half supported by my little sister, I saw the wound in her leg. There was no mistaking that a bullet had grazed her. I fought back the red mist that was beginning to swim before my eyes long enough to see her remove those parts of clothing that were stained with blood and burn them in the fire after bandaging her leg. Then as she sat... huddled before the flames. The last thing I saw was her wiping her lips daintily and casting the kerchief into the roaring blaze. When I woke up, Marcella was sitting in a chair by my bed.
All right, Herman?
Yes. I feel better, but weak.
The fever's gone.
You were with me all night?
I was afraid to go to bed. She's still sitting there in front of the fire.
And Caesar, did he come back?
No. He never returned. Oh, Hem, where is he? How was she wounded unless it was from his gun? And if that's how she was wounded, then that means that she's...
Good morning, Christina, my dear. You're up and about early.
I thought to make your breakfast.
Why? Where is Marcella and the boy?
Hey, quick, go ask him, where is Caesar?
All right.
Oh, there you are, Marcella. What are you doing in Hermann's room?
If you please, Father. Hermann has the fever again. He cannot rise from his bed. But where is my little brother, Caesar?
Is he not in his room?
No, his bed has not been slept in. And he is nowhere in the house.
Oh, merciful heavens. Perhaps that's what woke me. I was restless and not feeling well, and I thought I heard the door latch opening. But when I came out, the room was empty. Why would the boy...
What is it, Christina?
My dear husband, nothing, I hope. But your gun is missing. It's no longer hanging over the chimney.
Father, Papa, I thought I heard the White Wolf last night. And
hush, hush, child, a little boy. Christina, hand me my broad axe.
Leaning weakly against the door, I had heard and seen all this. And when my father went out without another word in the short while he was gone, I was able to dress myself so that I was just coming out into the main room as he returned.
Caesar! Oh, no! No!
No, clear the table, Christina, so I may lay him down.
Yes, husband.
Stop your weeping, girl, and help her.
Yes, yes, Papa. You may put him down now, we'll help.
Yes. Poor, broken little body. Savaged and mangled.
The boy must have taken your gun down and gone after some wolf, but the animal was too powerful for him. Oh, poor child. A dear price to pay for such rashness.
For 3 days, while the family mourned, I lay in a stupor. You see, my days and nights were filled with fevered dreams, through which a great white wolf ran snarling, slashing at me with gleaming white fangs. Waking sometimes, I seemed to see my stepmother's face floating above me. And through my twisting, fevered tossings, again and again with the looming of night beneath my window about the house, I heard the growl of a wolf. Till one day, I came back to my senses to find Marcella sitting beside me, holding my hand.
Oh, you're awake. Can I get you something?
No. I'm all right again, I think. How long have I been...
Almost a week.
Are you all right?
Yes.
But, Caesar, oh, I seem to remember Marcella.
He's dead, brother dear. Every day I've wanted to go to his grave and pray. Papa has kept us all here in mourning. Today, Father went. At my constant urging to make sure that all was well.
And was it?
He hasn't returned yet.
And the stepmother...
You'll be glad to know that I'm in the best of health. I'm sorry for your indisposition. You must be very weak.
Thank you. But I'll soon have my strength back. Dr. Baum is due to return soon. He'll have me on my feet in no time. For that matter, I feel fine now.
Where is everyone?
In Herman's room, husband.
Can you imagine, Christina, that those wolves of perdition take their whole species have contrived to dig up my poor boy, and there is nothing left but his bones?
Oh, no. No, that's impossible.
Not so, Papa. A wolf growls under our window every night.
Why didn't you tell me, Marcella? You wake me the next time you hear it.
I will, if...
Wilhelm. Herman is much better, and everything is under control here. But you, poor husband, you had such a shock. Come away with me. Let me soothe you in your grief.
But how could they have moved those stones?
What were you going to say to Father?
I was going to say that all this week while you lay in fever and Father mourned, every night without fail, she left after midnight and was gone till early morning hours. Where do you think she went?
I shudder to imagine. But one thing I do know, you or I could be next. We must get away from here.
It cannot be too soon for me. The moment you are strong enough.
Yes, I agree. Until then, we must stay together, always.
Except when Papa is in the house. You're safe with him. But he could be in danger, too.
Well, it's a danger he'll have to face. Perhaps this is his retribution for killing our mother. Remember, I told you.
Yes. But first, we must think of you. And then when the time comes, we will do what has to be done.
When the time comes, how bitterly I blame myself for not moving immediately, as I should have. Dr. Baum arrived suddenly, just as I had a full remission of my fevers and my weakness. I was still abed, but ready to rise. More ready, I suppose, than the good doctor realized, else I would never have heard his fatal words.
These anemic conditions, a kind of cancer of the blood for which there is no known cure yet. Some colleagues lean to the name leukemia, but even in the enlightened 18th century,
We have no way to stop it from being terminal.
How long?
Who knows exactly? A week, a month, and certainly not much longer. Probably sooner than later.
I stumbled away from inside the front door where I had been listening. I fell on my bed and wept. Why? Why had God singled me out for this fate? By that very night, I was to know. It was shortly before twilight when the doctor left. An hour, perhaps a little longer, had passed, when suddenly I was summoned out of my melancholy by... Marcella! Marcella! Father, where is she?
She went out to pick some herbs for dinner.
No, I don't mean my sister. I mean your wife.
Christina, out walking.
Not Christina. She is the White Wolf. Don't you know what you married?
Oh, Herman, my poor boy. You are under the influence of a fever. You don't know what you're saying.
Don't I? Well, look. There. There, you see.
That damned White Wolf. Give me my gun. What is it, Christina? What is it?
Did you see a White Wolf?
Yes, but what is it?
Oh, it's too horrible to think of. Marcella. Oh, no. No, no, I can't say it. She...
Not dead.
I'm afraid so, my loving stepson. That wolf has torn her to pieces.
For several days, I thought my father would never recover from the shock of losing his second child. I was numb myself. Together we buried her, although it was 2 days before he could bear to consign Marcella to what he called her last resting place. If only that could have been true. But the monster was not yet satisfied, nor was I. On the third night after my sister was buried, I watched that foul woman, or whatever she was, rise and leave the house. Immediately, I went and wakened my father.
Who is it?
It's Herman, Father. You come with me.
But where are we going? What are you doing with my gun?
We're going to kill the White Wolf. But first, I want you to see her for what she really is. It was bright moonlight as I led my father to my sister's grave. And there, oh, too ghastly to relate, was my stepmother in her white nightgown tearing away the stones piled above the grave. She was frantic with haste. In a moment, she was in the grave and ready to rend the sweet flesh apart with her hands, ready to devour it.
Oh, great God in heaven.
Your wife, or what passes for one, see what you sold yourself and us too. This time, I will make sure there is no miss. She dropped like a stone, a bullet through her head. We rushed to the grave. But imagine our horror to find, lying across the remains of my dead sister, not my stepmother, but the body of a large white wolf.
What have you done to my daughter, Wilhelm? Where is she?
Where she should be, Manfred of Ponsdorf, where fiends belong, in hell, I hope.
Remember your oath that you would never harm her.
I made no compact with evil spirits.
You did. And if you failed in your vow, your children were to meet the vengeance of the spirits, to perish and their bones blanch in the wilderness, as yours shall do for what you have done to my daughter. A bullet for a bullet. But my daughter is immortal and will wreak her revenge on the last of your blood. Up, Christina, up!
Again, and I watched transfixed as in a flare of lightning the body of the wolf twitched and then dissolved in a blinding white light out of which Christina appeared. Taking her father's hands, she leapt up behind them on the horse, her voice carrying on the wind as they disappeared.
I will be back for you, Herman. Never fear. I will be back.
Somehow I brought my father home to die, and somehow I buried him beside my sister and my brother.
Then the fever overwhelmed me. I lie now in my bed, weak and helpless, waiting for her to come. The white wolf, the glistening teeth bared, the fangs ready to sink into my throat and slake her insatiable thirst on the blood which first attracted her to this mountain cottage. I wait in eager anticipation. No bullet, no dagger, no mortal means could damage this white wolf. Only the tainted blood which flows through my veins. And so, by an ironic twist of the Almighty, will bring her to the death she so richly deserves. Come, Ilion, come. Sink your fangs and drink my blood so that in dying I can send you to burn to hell for all eternity.
Do you feel a shudder run through you? An icy wave of distaste chill the spine? The chance you take, you know, when I open that door and invite you in. I promise you a gripping tale. Not always a nice one. But if you've listened to this late at night, sleep easy. The white wolf is dead. I shall be back shortly.
I guess I'm lucky. My family's always been healthy. Oh, a touch of constipation now and then. But we've got X-Lax for that.
When you need a laxative, shouldn't your first choice be the one more families buy than any other? That's today's X-Lax. Families like the chocolated taste. You'll like the way X-Lax works, gently overnight for relief in the morning. Next time, make gentle chocolated X-Lax your first choice for occasional use only as directed.
We've always been healthy, and X-Lax is part of that.
Here, boy. Hey, nice dog.
Dogs, we love them, and how they love us back. When they play with your kids, you can forget that dogs were once wild. That in an instant, man's best friend can become his deadliest enemy. The Dogs, the new bestseller by Robert Calder that critics called more terrifying than Jaws, because it could happen anywhere. The Dogs, just unleashed in paperback by Dell.
Don't go driving around all over town. One smart stop is the best. MLS, try the easier way to buy or sell your home today. You can do it through MLS.
Buying or selling a home is a big move, but it doesn't have to be a big headache. Talk to just one multiple listing service realtor and you immediately put as much as 600 MLS offices to work for you throughout Queens, Nassau, and Suffolk. And this network of offices, plus the personal care of your own MLS realtor, doesn't cost a penny more. So if you're ready to buy or sell a home, don't trust the luck. Instead, trust the realtor who displays the multiple listing sign. Multiple listing service on Long Island. For free literature with valuable tips on buying or selling a house, call 516-293-1144. That's 516-293-1144. It's the last big week of ShopRite's annual pantry stock-up can-can sale. Hurry in and save on ShopRite whole or stewed tomatoes. 3 1-pound cans for $1. At the meat case, choice grade sirloin steaks with tenderloin, $1.39 a pound. Prices not available north of Westchester County.
Time to shop at ShopRite can-can.
I know there is a move afoot to persuade us that the wolf is a much maligned creature, that he is a loving, a good companion, and never kills except for food and sustenance. I'm sure it may be so, but I'll take it on faith. I don't want to prove it by testing the theory. Personally, Every time I hear a wolf howl, which is not often, I'm glad to say, I'm tempted to revert to childhood and hide my head under the nearest blanket. Our cast included Norman Rose, Christopher Tabori, Jada Rowland, Ann Shepherd, and Paul Tripp. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Tonight's WOR Mystery Theater was also brought to you in part by ShopRite Supermarkets, where you get a lot more for a little less. The preceding program was furnished by CBS Radio. Your dial is set for 10 minutes of late news with John Scott reporting from the 710 newsroom. This is WOR New York, an RKO general station.
New York City's Health and Hospital Corporation call on the president, Dr. Holliman, to resign, and Holliman agrees to step down. Congressional leaders say President Carter's emergency gas legislation could become law next week. Dr. Friedgood gets 25 years to life in wife slaying. It's 27 degrees in mostly clear mid-Manhattan. The man says mostly cloudy and colder tonight, the low in the 20s. This is John Scott with the 8 o'clock edition of the news. The City Health and Hospitals Corporation has voted 9-7 to request the resignation of the president, Dr. John Holliman, Jr., effective April 30th, and Dr. Holliman has agreed to resign. At a news conference, Holliman said, "There is certainly no justifiable reason to discharge me other than politics." Congressional leaders in the House and Senate indicate both chambers could complete action on President Carter's emergency natural gas legislation early next week. The bill would allocate natural gas to areas with the worst shortages, and it would transfer some higher-priced natural gas to cold-stricken areas of the nation. In sending the emergency legislation to Capitol Hill, Mr. Carter also had a message for the people.
I again ask every American to lower the thermostat settings in all homes and buildings to no more than 65 degrees during the daytime and to a much lower setting at night. This single step, if carried out by all our people, can eliminate half the current shortage of natural gas and put thousands of Americans back to work. I've turned the thermostat down in the White House and have ordered it reduced in all government buildings. And I ask everyone in the country to cooperate so that no one will have to go without crucial heat.
New Yorkers will apparently be exempt for the time being. City regulation requires thermostats to be kept at 68 degrees. Sentencing today for a Long Island doctor convicted in a sensational murder trial last month. WOR's Bert Wilson has the story.
25 years to life is what Dr. Charles Friedgood will pay for the murder of his wife, Sophie, and the looting of her estate after her death. The prosecutor, Stephen Scarring, feels the sentence was just, that Friedgood knew what he was doing, and that the motive was there.
Certainly just motivated by his girlfriend, his desire to leave and join her, and motivated by his desire to take the money, and his wife had it all. So absolutely, I do agree. That was the motive that we presented.
Do you agree that, as the judge said, this was cold, premeditated, calculated?
It had to be. If you imagine the horror of Sophie Friedgood lying in her bed as she was injected with the Demerol, I don't think there's any other way to describe it but the way the judge did.
The defense is upset with the severity of the sentence, and an immediate appeal will be filed. In Nassau County Court, this is Bert Wilson for WOR News.
A Boston medical examiner says the wife of one-time counsel to former President Nixon, Leonard Garment, Grace Garment, committed suicide. Mrs. Garment's nude body was found in the bathtub of a drab transient hotel room December 7th, and remained unclaimed for 7 weeks. Garment, now a U.S. representative to the U.N. Human Rights Commission, identified his wife's body today at a city morgue. Police said she carried no identification and spent most of the last 8 weeks before her death in a New York sanitarium for depression. The New Jersey legislative panel is trying to write a legal definition of brain death and something else, too, as WOR's Ed Nash reports.
The same Senate committee is also considering legislation that would permit living wills These would enable terminally ill patients to stipulate an end to treatment which extends the dying period. Sidney Rossoff of New York City is president of the Society for the Right to Die, and he testified in favor of the bill. I asked him if a right to die law could lead to euthanasia.
We don't believe so. We believe that we're dealing with a particular problem, and that is where medical treatment serves solely to extend the period of dying. We believe that in those cases, the patient who wishes the treatment terminated should have their wishes observed. We do not believe in mercy killing. We do not believe in putting people to death. We do not believe in any of these other things. We are seeking to correct this present inadequacy in our medical situation.
Rossoff said that living wills are now permitted in California, the first state to have such a law. At the New Jersey State House, this is Ed Nash for WOR News.
And the WOR News time, it's 5 minutes past eight. Coming up, the weather and the top of the news.
Yes, for the security of your family's tomorrow, be sure to include low-cost savings bank life insurance today. At Anchor Savings Bank, you will get the kind of family coverage you want at less cost than ever before. And to be eligible for low-cost savings bank life insurance, all you have to do is live or work in New York State. So come and talk to your Anchor banker in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Staten Island, and Long Island. He understands.
Your Anchor banker, she understands.
Let Anchor Savings show you the way to build for tomorrow today.
Member FDIC.
And the Weather Watch update for New York City and the vicinity. Mostly cloudy, windy, and colder tonight and tomorrow with a chance of occasional snow flurries. The low tonight in the low 20s. The high tomorrow in the low 30s. Chance of snow tomorrow night into Friday and continued cold. The low tomorrow night in the low 20s. The high Friday around 30. Right now in mostly clear mid-Manhattan, it's 27 degrees. The humidity 60%. The wind from the southwest at 9 miles an hour. The barometer steady at 29.62 inches. And the top stories, New York City's Health and Hospital Corporation calls on Dr. Holliman to resign, the president, and Holliman agrees to step down. Congressional leaders say President Carter's emergency gas legislation could become law next week, and Dr. Friedgood gets 25 years to life in wife slaying. And that, friends, is the 8 o'clock edition of the news, John Scott reporting. Next news as it happens, next scheduled news tonight at 9 with John Wingate. Stay tuned now for Garner Ted Armstrong and the Plain Truth, followed by Barry Farber over WOR New York.
Garner Ted Armstrong brings you the plain truth about today's world news. And now, Garner Ted Armstrong with the plain truth.
Did you hear about the new movie ratings in Dallas? Now they've got P for perversion, along with N for nudity and V for violence. Now, it's not clear whether this is to warn people away or attract the perverts who want to see this obscenity, but the new ratings will soon be up on the theater marquees anyhow. You know, it's no wonder that Gone with the Wind was recently brought back for the umpteenth time, and this time on television. The movie makers just cannot, or will not, whichever, produce an epic, historical, monumental, moving, instructive, socially valuable film. If it's got the main money ingredients, then it's box office. And that means gore. It means gore with sex, sex with gore, murder, rape, arson, mugging, robbery, extortion, suicide, and sex, sex, sex with all of the above. And the grotesque, the hugely monumental, the mass death scene. All of this is becoming more commonplace today, most especially the preoccupation with cataclysmic accident or deliberately contrived mass death, such as Towering Inferno, Earthquake, Jaws. The theaters, though, are out of date. Did you notice that? Even though people were seen being carried out of The Exorcist on stretchers or rushing to the restroom to vomit, and some of them didn't make it, the theaters are unprepared. Today, the seats need six sacks, along with seat belts. The aisles need anti-skid treads. Each section needs a resuscitator with a group of firemen to rescue people. A stomach pump would be handy, vacuum cleaners along the aisles, a psychiatrist, a resident nurse every other seat, and a bottle of Pepto-Bismol in a plastic bag. You know, there was this unbelievable motion picture called Tommy. I don't know what it was rated, but perhaps they could have rated it PG, meaning psycho, grotesque, or pure garbage. It was based on a rock opera. In it, a little boy, Tommy, is driven out of his mind. His brain snaps, and he becomes deaf, dumb, and blind after seeing his own mother and her boyfriend in the act of putting his father to death.